Hinduism, of Buddhism, and then, as if to sum it all up and to make sure he has not left anybody else, he says, all the peoples and kindreds of the earth, one and all, he says, will arise to attack the faith of Baha'u'llah. Shoghi Effendi, confirming what Abdul Baha has said, has told us that peoples, nations, religions will successively arise to oppose the faith. We may be surprised that in a free world like North America, how could we have opposition? Of course we will. We have had it already. I just referred to South Carolina. Already there, the churches in the villages in South Carolina are telling these poor black Baha'is, many of them illiterate, they don't know where Iran is exactly, maybe. They say, see, they are killing you. If you come back to the church, however, no one can touch you. Shoghi Effendi speaks about intellectual tests that will surround the Baha'is of the West. He speaks about those who will arise to sap and destroy the unity of the Baha'is, those who will misrepresent the aims and purposes of the faith, those who would like to see the faith uprooted, root and branch. Such a day is ahead of us. Such a contest is ahead of us. I don't tell you this to frighten you. I tell you this so that we might be realistic in our deepening work, in our consolidation work, in our study of the writings, so that we might be prepared for the days to come. In God Passes By, in the last chapter, Prospect and Retrospect, he speaks about the process of crisis and victory that go hand in hand. When we have opposition following it, of course we have a crisis of some kind, but this crisis leads to victory. The victory in turn incites the enemies of the faith to attack us another time. This time, again, such attacks will lead to a further triumph for the faith. So this is the pattern of Baha'i history. It has been so, and it will continue to be so until that promise of Baha'u'llah would be redeemed, about the universal recognition of his faith and the universal triumph of his faith. When Shoghi Effendi speaks about this opposition, he actually refers to the rising forces of nationalism, of racialism, of materialism, of secularism, In another letter referring to secularism, he calls it haughty intellectualism. And finally, to the forces of ecclesiasticism that we now see in Iran, and we will continue to see everywhere else, because in most cases the opposition will be generated, however quietly, by the strongholds of religious orthodoxy and religious bigotry. Such is the picture that Shoghi Effendi has drawn, has painted for us, not only in the West, but throughout the world. And as I said earlier on, we have no choice but to prepare ourselves for that day. And what we see today happening outside Iran is not at all that great tempest, that great storm that he has forecast. There are little winds, very much like the rain we had this afternoon. That's all. Not the real storms. Those are yet ahead. Now, in order to prepare ourselves, we go back to our own personal lives, each one of us personally, individually. Because without this individual effort, nothing can happen. Shoghi Effendi says, even the concourse on high are powerless to help if the individual does not arise. It is the individual, in the last analysis, that really counts. He is, Shoghi Effendi says, the brick on which the strength of the entire edifice depends. The stability of the entire edifice depends. And how can we achieve this? We can achieve this through our daily efforts in teaching the faith, in having reliance upon the promises of Baha'u'llah, who tells us in no uncertain terms that if we arise, then we will see with our own eyes how Baha'u'llah will fulfill his promise. We have to be sure that he will fulfill his promise. Our faith can be either like someone standing far from where the fire is burning and seeing a smoke and saying, where there is smoke, there must be fire. And then signing the declaration card. This is maybe one form of faith. But is it enough? Surely not. What we should do is to fortify our faith, individually, our belief in Baha'u'llah. This should be strengthened, fortified. It can be fortified through study of the writings, through exposure of our souls to the holy word, the creative word, through teaching the faith, through sacrifice, either by through contributions to the fund or through our daily efforts through a self-assessment, a self-examination of where am I? Where am I going? What is this life all about? This realization of where we are, this is absolutely essential so that faith can be transmuted, changed, developed into certitude. Otherwise, faith alone will wobble when the test comes. It needs to be strengthened and fortified. It should be protected. Shoghi Effendi says it should be protected, fortified, and exemplified. He uses three verbs regarding our faith. Like a flame which is in our hearts, not down there in the valley somewhere or up the mountain with some smoke rising in the sky. No, a flame within us, a flame which generates heat, a heat that you can feel, a heat that you can transmit, that kind of faith that you carry with you. You have to protect it. You put a glass around it, you protect your flame. But that's not enough. You have to increase that flame and then to allow it to reflect itself, exemplify itself in all our deeds, all our actions, all our words. This will touch the hearts. Otherwise, there will be nothing but empty words. And the world is full of words. The world actually is tired of words. When Shoghi Effendi speaks about the leaders of thought and the erudite, what do you think such people, when they learn about the faith, will do? Would they not want to know what influence has the words of Baha'u'llah, have the words of Baha'u'llah had on our lives, individually and collectively? Wouldn't any intelligent seeker want to do that? Wouldn't he want to know whether that blueprint on the shelf, however beautiful it is, however unique it is, wouldn't he want to know what we've done with that blueprint? Whether we have built something? And if so, where is it? And what is it? Does it agree with the original? Or is it something different that we may have wanted to build or possibly improve upon the original? This is what they want to see. You see what grave responsibility lies on the individual. And the individual friends, the individual, it is not his job to look at his neighbor, to see what his neighbor has done. If he has arisen, he will arise. If he hasn't, he might think, well, why should I do it? He hasn't done it. Our responsibility is to God. Baha'u'llah in the Tablet of Wisdom says, regard not the children of God and their deeds and doings. Fix your gaze on God's never-ending sovereignty. In another tablet, Baha'u'llah says that those souls who are steadfast, those souls who are the true believers, will consider themselves to be the sole helpers of the cause. Each of them will so think. It means that I should not think that there is another Baha'i anywhere in the world. This should not give me a sense of pride. God forbid, I hope it won't. But what Baha'u'llah is saying is not to make our deeds conditional upon the deeds of others or their lack of deeds. We should think we are alone. We should think we are Mullah Hussein. Imagine Mullah Hussein as he left that room in the house of the Bab. And as he walked the streets of Shiraz, he was alone. The Bab in his house, in that upper room, and he alone, facing the entire world. Such should be our faith. Not to make it conditional upon anything, upon anybody, but to realize the preciousness of our sacred tie to Baha'u'llah, and to try to live in accordance with what would be his good pleasure. Because without his good pleasure, whatever the service we render, in whatever form it is, has no value at all. Because service has a form. It also has a spirit, just like we have a body and a soul. Service has a form and has a spirit. My understanding, friends, of the writings is that the form is of no value. What counts is the spirit. There may be 9 chairs in Haifa, and I may be sitting on one of them. But if I am not serving Baha'u'llah in that spirit that would win his good pleasure, that chair is of no use to me or to anybody. That chair becomes my test. It becomes my calamity. That chair could be not in Haifa, it could be in Toronto. It could be in any of these localities, anywhere in the world. The chair is only important as an instrument, maybe, that through that chair, through that position, through that function, we might be given another opportunity to serve him. But even if we have no chair, we can serve him. The spirit counts. Now, there is a prayer in the prayer book revealed by Baha'u'llah on the occasion of Nowruz. In this prayer,